This is an ABC podcast.
Hello. Welcome to News Time. My name is Ruby.
Hi, Ruby.
Hello.
Hi, Ruby.
We're doing something a little bit different today. We're taking a look back at some of our favourite news stories ever. Today, we're counting down our top stories about the ocean. Are you ready to get started?
Yes, we're ready.
Yes, we're ready.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's dive right in.
Story number five.
There's a lot of water on planet Earth. There's much more ocean than there is land. Imagine that you're at the beach, looking out across the water, listening to the waves. Ah, it's beautiful, isn't it? What's your favourite thing about the ocean?
It's easier to move your body in it, and it's fun to play in.
All the creatures that live in it, my favourite one is the turtle.
Yeah, I think I like sharks.
Every year, on the 8th of June, we celebrate World Oceans Day, a day to think about all the reasons why the ocean is important and special.
So, Ocean Day is for celebrating all the things that the ocean does for Earth, because without it, the Earth won't survive for long.
Yep, the ocean helps keep every living thing on our planet healthy and happy. Most of the oxygen in the air that we breathe comes from plants under the sea, from places like the giant kelp forests deep underwater. They make oxygen for us just like trees on land do. The ocean is also full of life.
Fishes and dolphins and stuff. And if we go into the really deep end, we might see a whale.
This year, the theme for World Oceans Day is Innovation for a Sustainable Ocean. We've talked about innovation before on News Time. It's when people come up with new ideas or ways of doing things. And a sustainable ocean means one that's healthy and clean for years and years to come.
Well, we could pick up rubbish.
Stop throwing plastic everywhere.
Making stuff with the plastic rather than throwing it in the bin.
Now that's what I call innovative thinking. Nice work, my friends. All right, let's head on over to our next story.
Story number four.
We're talking about something colourful that's found underwater. Can you guess what I'm talking about?
Rainbow?
Rainbows are in the sky.
No, rainbows can be inside water.
Fish.
Coral.
Yes, it's coral. When there's lots of coral together, that's called a coral reef. We've got a pretty famous coral reef here in Australia. It's called the Great Barrier Reef, and it's up off the coast of Queensland. The thing is, there's some coral on the Great Barrier Reef and in other parts of the world that's looking a bit worse for wear recently. You see, our planet's getting warmer, and that makes the water warmer too. If the water gets too warm, it can make the coral sick. So how do you think they can make the coral healthy again?
They could put ice in the water.
I like your thinking. What about playing the coral some music? Not too long ago, some scientists put big underwater speakers near some damaged coral in the Great Barrier Reef. They played the sounds of a healthy coral reef. It sounds like the little grunts of fish and the crackling of snapping shrimp. The sounds that came out of those speakers, they helped attract lots and lots of fish back to the damaged coral. Scientists say that fish can really help fix coral that's damaged. They can clean the reef and make room for the coral to grow strong again. Okay, time to dive on in to our next story.
Story number three.
This story is about rubbish. Plastic rubbish. And lots of it. Where does rubbish usually go?
You put it in the bin.
That's right, you should put it in the bin. But did you know that 8 million tons of plastic rubbish ends up in our oceans every year? That's about a truckload of plastic every minute. That is a big problem because it can make fish and other sea life really sick. And that's where sea bins come in. They're bins for the sea. They float at the surface of the water and suck in rubbish. The rubbish is collected in a net and then taken out of the water. There are more than 800 sea bins sucking up rubbish from our rivers and oceans every day. They don't clean up all the rubbish in the sea, but I'm sure those fish are much happier with the sea bins around to keep the plastic away from their bellies. All right, we're up to our next story.
Story number two.
Now I'd like to tell you about something a little bit strange that's been happening to flat-backed turtles in the Northern Territory. It turns out more and more of these little flatback hatchlings are being born as girls. Why do you think that could be?
Because they like the girls better.
Lots of turtles are wanted girl babies.
Actually, it's got to do with the sand that they nestle their eggs in. You see, the warmer the sand is, the more likely the turtle will be a girl. If the sand is cooler, chances are it'll be a boy. Do you know why that is?
Climate change. Might be like the weather's changing, that's making more girls grow.
Yep, you're on the right track. Scientists reckon the sand is getting too hot because of our warming planet. That's leading to more girl turtles being born. They say it's not good because no boy turtles means no baby turtles. The good news is they're finding ways to change that so we can protect our flippant friends. And guess what, guys? We're up to the last story.
Story number one.
There are lots of different ways to build a house. You can make one from lots of different kinds of things.
Bricks, cement, nails, hammers, wood.
Maybe metal?
Yep. And what about snot?
That was so funny.
That is absolutely disgusting.
It doesn't sound very nice, does it? But that is exactly how giant larvations make their homes.
Maybe to keep them safe and have a comfy house?
Giant larvations live in the deep, dark ocean. Even though they're called giants, they look a bit like tadpoles. And believe it or not, they build their homes out of snot to catch food. Scientists call them snot palaces or snot mansions.
Snot village!
Super funny. It's like, why would they be palaces or mansions? They're like tiny.
Good point. Well, even though a giant larvation is small, the house they build can be 10 times bigger than them. It's a bit like a person making a 5-story building out of snot. Blech. They use a special gland in their head to push out all the snotty, goopy mucus all at once. And then, with some strong flaps of their tail, they push water through it so it inflates like a big snotty bubble. Giant larvations need snot bubbles to help filter in teeny tiny bits of food. It's kind of like a net. The food that's too big for them gets stuck, and the smaller bits are pulled straight into their mouth.
That's a really good idea.
Even though it's kind of gross, it is pretty clever. Eventually, these big snotty palaces become clogged up with all the food that's too big for the larvations to eat. And so they ditch their snot palace and make a new one. Their old palace falls to the ocean floor and gets eaten up by other sea creatures, like small crabs and sea cucumbers. It means that nothing goes to waste.
Actually, I like that. I like eating snot.
Who knew snot palaces were such an important part of our ocean's ecosystem? And that's it, my friends. We have reached the end of our countdown. I'll catch you again next week with some fresh news.
Bye, Ruby.
See you later.
See ya.
See you later.